What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily. I'm Greg Miller. This is Victor Lucas.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
It's great to be here, man.
It's great to be here with you. Yeah, I know very much. And this is your show for Thursday.
Hold on. I'm coming
December
over
19th. 20.
Ooh. I'm coming for a hug. Oh, I love this dude.
We love you, awesome. Victor. We're so happy you could be here.
This is great.
You know what I mean? Every time you come through,
I send you a little text.
I know.
I'm coming to town.
And often it doesn't work.
Yeah, I know.
I'm out of town. Yep. You're going to be out of town. We're
and
already booked on a thing.
You came to Vancouver and you couldn't come on Electric Playground, which sucked because I was away. And,
yeah.
I know you guys had an awesome event. You're on your world tour right now, right?
That's what we did. Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, we're done now. We're wrapped.
Okay.
London was the final stop. That was it for 2019.
How epic.
I know, right?
I'm so proud of you. And congrats on 5 years, by the way.
Dude, thank you, right?
That is so dope, man.
Remember, everybody, January 3rd, 2020.
Amazing.
Kind of funny day. Come on.
Amazing. I know what those milestones mean.
Yeah, you know better than most everybody. Mm-hmm. I think you know better than most people.
It's a very epic thing to build something and watch it grow. And,
yeah.
And what's cool for me is I keep coming back and it's bigger every
yeah,
time I come
a,
back.
Yeah, the rooms know? Are a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
There's more stuff packed into them.
Things are busting out of this space, which is awesome.
But what's been going on with you, Vic? So, I mean, if you've missed Victor Lucas before, on Kinda Funny, period, because he's been on a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Electric Playground, of course.
That's
your
been
thing.
My brand. I've been doing it
forever.
For 25 years.
Right.
This was that, honestly, at the end of this year, it's 25 full years. I've been to all the E3s.
Congratulations there.
Thank you. And so it's a surreal thing when you hit 25 years of the same email address and the same job for the most part. Personally, of course, everything has been different as we've grown from a weekly show. We went to a daily TV show, and then we had all kinds of growth that way.
Yeah.
And then we've had to shrink down a little bit in this sort of internet age and kind of deal with YouTube and streaming. And but one of the cool things that we did this year is we moved into a cafe space at the Vancouver Film School.
That's so awesome.
Which is an actual public space that people can come and watch the show in. And, of course, all kinds of incredible guests come through Vancouver. They're working on movies and TV shows and video games and comic books. And I've been able to tap into that. So we've had amazing people like, animators from Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
David Hayter's been on. Sam Witwer's been on.
Oh, Sam Witwer, he's garbage.
I love that guy.
Terrible person.
Is he garbage on Kinda Funny? Because he's great on YouTube.
No, we love him. It's like giving him his
And I love Days Gone, by the way. I thought that game was awesome. And I thought, I know it wasn't one of your favorites. But it was great. It's great to have this forum where people can come and, chat with everybody.
That's been my favorite thing is because I remember, not the last time, but one of the first times you came through, especially when we were in the new studio.
Yeah.
It was right as you were like, I'm pivoting and I'm doing YouTube for the first time.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing.
I still don't.
And
really.
So to watch you grow and thrive going from TV and having been the TV guy forever.
Yes.
Right? Because, I mean, that's how I knew you. That's how I know. And I know that's how Canada knows you, right?
Yeah,
when you walk the streets of Canada, you're a full-blown celebrity because people have grown up watching you.
It is surreal. And that really happened when we went daily because, when we were a weekly show, it was on the weekends and you had to be into video games. But when we went daily and started talking about all kinds of other entertainment, suddenly families were watching the show together. And I could palpably feel that whenever I would walk around. And I still get a little bit of that because we were on for so long.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm grateful to all of our partners that did that and all the viewers that have been watching.
But, yeah, that's always my favorite thing when you come by is the fact that the chat and the comments are usually split on either, Victor seemed cool, who is he? And everybody else being like, oh my God, it's Victor Lucas, because they know you. And they've, again, you've been doing this for so long and doing it so well.
Oh, thanks.
And also, you're one of the few people in the games industry no one ever talks shit about.
I know. Well,
everybody loves you.
I had a little shit this year, which I don't know
into. But even that, like, I think was the normal thing where it was, okay, clearly this isn't, everybody started going crazy, understandably.
Yeah.
And it was like, all right, cool, but that's not what Vic would do.
No.
That was the whole thing. That's not how Vic would do this.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I mean, as an entrepreneur, and I know that you have the same kind of perspective, is when you build something, you know how hard it is to build things.
Yeah.
So when I, interview people or I critique things, I have that perspective.
Sure.
I have that kind of awareness that, people don't set out to build shitty things.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to come in with this binary kind of attitude that this sucks and this is great.
Totally.
This sucks and this is awesome. And so much of, honestly, I don't want to even throw shade at YouTube, but so much of what I see on YouTube is that. It's like people just want to pile on. They either want to like celebrate something too much or hate something too much. You know.
Well, I think, it's funny. We have a bunch of inside baseball questions later about reviews and how it all comes together. But I do think that a lot of that comes with youth and not knowing exactly what you're doing. So I don't mean youth in terms of age, but in terms of I'm going to be a reviewer. I'm going to review stuff. Because I look back at my IGN reviews from 2007 to 2010 probably in cringe.
Yeah.
Because like I am being mean and I am being, I am ignoring how long it took these people to make something because I didn't know that at the time.
Well, and that you also want to set up a, you're setting up your own boundaries on how you're going to look at this stuff as well.
Sure.
You're defining your viewpoint.
Yeah.
And all you have is that moment in time, and that feels like a totality. It feels like I've got a really great understanding.
I've played games my whole life, exactly. So I know what a good game is and a bad game is.
Yeah, you roll forward another 5-10 years, and your perspective changes for sure. But, I, you know, honestly, I say this a lot to people that watch our stuff is take these opinions in, get to know the individuals, which I still firmly believe, because Siskel and Ebert were, you know, they were the guiding
gold standard,
star.
Right? Yeah,
that's what I based Reviews on the Run on, which was a key part of what Electric Playground's heart and soul was. They were the best at in the game, and they really understood how to use their personalities to help flavor their material, and you would get to know them as individuals, and you would sort of base your opinion on that. And I think that still holds true to this day.
Sure.
I think it's really important to not just blindly trust any viewpoint or any brand, but get to know the individuals and see how your tastes align. And then you can kind of use that as a bit of a guiding star for what you're going to sample.
100%.
And check out.
That's the power of what we do now, right? Is the fact that you go to YouTube channels, podcasts, websites because you like personalities and you understand what that personality is. And the fact that, you know, to use an example from Kind of Funny, this year on the subreddit, one of our best friends was able to go in and post and be like, Moonlighter is a Greg Miller ass game. Mm. And I looked at that and I'm like, they know me incredibly well.
That game is amazing.
I grabbed it and I was like, how did I miss this? Yeah. How could I have not known this? But that's the idea that goes both ways.
About The Tourist, which all of you should be checking out.
Tell them about The Tourist.
The Tourist is an amazing game from Shinin. I think it's only on the Switch right now. And this is the team that brought the Fast RMX games out there. And it is like a little action role-playing game, a little adventure kind of mode, and there are some puzzles to solve. But lots of little fun tongue-in-cheek details. The fact that the main character looks like a blocky version of David Harbour from Stranger Things. I love it. It's so endearing, and it's so fun. Like, you have to you run into this DJ, and he wants new music. So you go into a record shop, and you buy a bunch of music, and you bring it to this party, and it gets the party thumping, and then you get some money that, you know, it's just lots of little sort of clockwork intricacies like that that really make the game charming. It's awesome.
I'm very, very excited, Victor. Yeah. I'm happy you're here for the entire run of the show.
Thanks
of course,
for having me on.
Where can people keep up with you?
You can watch all of our content on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/EPNTV. And you can check us out on Twitter, EP Daily TV, and Facebook, Electric Playground. Okay. But just search Electric Playground and you should find us.
Well, we're going to keep picking Victor's brain because we have so much to talk about, including some Xbox updates, good news for Stadia, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give us your questions, your comments, your concerns, your cries for people to play video games with, and everything else under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe.
That's amazing. There was no cue card there. You just know that.
Yeah. That's why when I screw up a little bit of it, I screw it up and it throws everything off. Then the whole show is going to be in the tank. It's going to be terrible.
Well,
you know
I am impressed.
Thank you.
That is very good.
Thank you, Victor. You do it every day for like 600 days. You get pretty good. Don't you wrong me on how many days we've been doing it. Housekeeping for you. Remember, Kind of Funny Day is January 3rd, 2020. Our fifth anniversary. We will be live streaming from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. We will be going for 12 hours, introducing you to the new shows, the new announcements, and everything that's going to make Kind of Funny Games 4.0 so god dang special. Important to point out, then, this is your last regular week of Kind of Funny programming. One more Kind of Funny Games Daily tomorrow, screencast today, all that jazz. However, next week it'll be different. It's going to be Gamescast on Monday as usual. Then every other day will be PlayStation VR. Second season of that will be rolling out. Then Mandalorian on Friday. Then more PSVR, and then the stream on January 3rd.
Are you guys not taking the holidays off? You're just making things?
No, technically we're taking it off, kind of, sort of.
Okay.
You know how we are. You know how it is when you own the business, right?
Yeah.
So PlayStation VR is a Patreon goal from January.
Okay.
We filmed those. You could have watched them live if you were a supporter as we recorded them. They're going out on Patreon early. Then they're going out on YouTube there. So they're already done.
Okay.
Gamescast is being recorded today. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, 2
okay.
p.m.
Okay.
And then we'll come in and do the final Mandalorian in review live. We're actually coming in to do that one.
Very nice.
And then the
what
rest
a show, huh?
Oh, God.
What a gift.
You know what I mean? Amazing.
Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni. Oh, my God.
I know.
They're incredible.
Have you liked every episode?
No, yeah. I did not like the AT-ST village.
Okay, you're one of those
episode
guys.
With all everybody's wearing super clean outfits and stuff. Has anybody watched Star Wars? they're supposed to be a dusty, dirty kind of world, and it just looked like backlot sort of casting.
Yeah,
you know?
Interview for the new Star Wars, by the way, tomorrow. Not Mandalorian.
Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
Yeah, which we both saw. You've seen it twice.
I've seen it twice now.
Yeah. Are we allowed to talk about that?
Oh, yeah.
I
liked it.
Me too.
Don't spoil anything, obviously.
Okay, yeah. Okay. No,
I liked it a lot. I can't believe the reviews it's getting. I feel like this isn't even like Batman v Superman, where it's like, I get why you don't like Batman v Superman.
I know.
I see why it's a bad movie, right?
And people are taking all of the hatred that arose out of The Last Jedi, and they're trying to overcorrect and sort of say, you know, get into the safe zone and say that this is crap. And that's ridiculous. It is not crap. It's definitely messy because there's a lot of, retconning of different ideas that have been presented across the last couple of movies. But there's a lot of good fixes in this movie.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of things that make things make more sense. And most of all, it's just a lot of fun. And you can tell that everybody really committed. You know, it's a visually amazing movie as well.
I can't wait for the people, to see it.
Yeah.
Because I literally woke up yesterday and looked at reviews and I was like, what? Do we see the same things?
Yeah.
Solo has a better Rotten Tomatoes score than this?
I know.
Solo?
I know.
Don't even get me started.
Yeah,
we're going to keep talking about games, everybody.
Solo was fun, but totally forgettable, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Outside of Vision from Solo, I don't remember anything. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Mohammed. Today we're brought to you by Third Love, Upstart, and Logitech, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Cool, Greg, I've missed you. It's been a long time since you did the Roper Report jingle. It's good to have you back. Four items on the Roper Report.
What is it? Why is it called the Roper Report?
Chris Roper, IGN.com.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When Beyond got founded and I was one of the founders on it, he would give the news. So it was like the Roper Report.
Okay, cool.
And so we kept that after
he
left.
In honor of Chris.
Yeah. And then
he's still with us.
Oh, yeah. He works at PlayStation, very happy, has a lovely family, very much alive. Yeah.
Hi, Chris.
Good to see you again.
Baker's dozen.
Thank you very much. Number one on the Roper Report. We have some Xbox Series X updates. Number one, it's quiet. This is Michael Hyman over at GameSpot. In our exclusive talk with Xbox boss Phil Spencer, we learned a great deal about just how powerful the next-gen Xbox Series X will be. A GPU 8 times faster than the base Xbox One and twice that of the Xbox One X, a CPU said to be 4 times more capable, and an ultra-fast NVM lowercase e, whatever the hell that means, solid-state drive. Is this all gibberish to you two, or are you a PC guy?
It's all gibberish, perfect. And honestly, I don't like when we talk about new consoles in connection to old consoles.
Yeah.
We shouldn't ever bring up the Xbox One or the Xbox One X. Who cares?
Well, that's the only benchmark we have.
I know, but they should just be like, look at this shit. You know? Look at who can do now.
Yeah,
right. Who cares how it compares to the Xbox One? It's all so nebulous.
I know, right? Back to Michael, though, at GameSpot. Yeah. Well, aside from the SSD, which is virtually silent, you might be wondering about how the Series X will handle all that power while staying cool and quiet.
Right.
In general terms, Spencer described the console's cooling system saying, quote, what the team did, and you see it through the top grate, is we went with one central fan in the design, he continued. What this design does, with the size of the fan that we built around, is it lets us match how quiet the Xbox One X is with all that power inside of the box. It's not as simple as deciding on a type of cooling system and running with it, of course, as Spencer explained. Quote, there's always this tension between design, acoustics, cooling, and the function of the console, and we were not going to compromise on function. I'm just incredibly impressed with the design that they came up with. Spencer went on to describe how he's been using a Series X at home and that its acoustic profile helps it keep a low profile, even for people who have seen it in action. He claimed, quote, if I don't point it out, it just sits there and plays video games the way I want it to, and I never hear it, just like how I don't hear my Xbox One X.
Welcome to video game news in December, everybody. We're talking about how quiet a console
is. Dude, why? I've said in every show this week, why are we here? Why is anyone doing any work in the video game industry?
I mean, we're all intrigued. We all want to play with the toys. Mm-hmm. We all want to see what these things can do.
Yeah.
And, you know, certainly we're all kind of curious about how this technology all comes together and how it works and how noisy it's going to be. But it's not really that exciting, I think.
No, God, no.
And I've heard you not as the, you're not the biggest fan of PC gaming.
No, not at all.
And a lot of what we just read sure sounds like PC gaming.
I hate it. It makes me sick to my stomach. D-Block 1111 and the thing says, NVMe, Non-Volatile Memory Express, is an interface protocol built especially for... I'm already asleep.
What?
Who cares?
Make
the internet go faster. That's all I need. Make the porn play in a better quality. Am I right, Cool Greg?
Working on it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Cool Greg. He's working on it. All right, I don't know. I mainly wanted to use this as a jumping off point. What did you think of the Xbox One Series X or Xbox Series X?
Here's what I think about Xbox. I think that the smartest things that they've done is really focus on the backwards compatibility, mm-hmm. and letting people sort of carry their archive and their sure. libraries forward, and also recognition that once the Kinect debacle was kind of done, a lot of the shift in focus has been to say, look, we need to invest in some more games. And the other thing that excites the hell out of me is that Xbox is trying to get to people wherever they are. So xCloud is very exciting to me. The fact that they're doing partnerships with Nintendo, the fact that MLB is going over to Xbox.
Right.
There's a lot of really good momentum in inclusion in this business, and Microsoft, I think, is honestly leading the charge, which I am very, very fired up on.
100%.
The machine looks and sounds cool, but I think we're going into a post-hardware kind of era. Not this
gen.
We're
slowly getting there,
right?
We're
going there.
Yeah, exactly.
And I like the look of it. I think it's a cool reveal. I think the Series X is a... as a brand is a little confusing. And it sort of
It's Xbox.
Yeah.
This is Series X model.
Yeah.
So confusing.
But it opens up to other series.
Sure.
Right? And then we're getting into a position of like, where do I jump in? That's been, I think, the major problem with video games for the 25 years that I've been reporting on them.
Yeah.
Is like people don't know where to go. Like, where do I jump in to get the good stuff?
Yeah.
And then everybody's in these isolated little camps all the time and everybody starts bickering and fighting. Instead of... have you played this amazing game?
Yeah.
Right? Like the way that people talk about, maybe not Star Wars right now, but the way that people talk about other pop culture.
Totally.
They just get into it.
Yeah. Well, it's so easy, games, right, to jump, like, even I know this sounds crazy, but even the Marvel movies.
Yes.
Where it's like, okay, 23 movies, is that what it is? Is a lot of movies, but at least you know.
Yes.
And you can look at it. When I was like, what Clone Wars episode should I watch on Disney Plus? And people sent me this color-coded chart, like, through multiple seasons, like, oh, even for me, I'm like, that, just looking at that is like monumental, right?
Right.
Where it's like, God, I don't
and that's
know.
What video games are.
Yeah.
You know, like Marvel, you bring up a great point. Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 was a great game this year.
Yeah.
You had to be in the Switch ecosystem to check that out even, you know? I was talking with the Marvel guys at the screening
Bill
yesterday.
Roseman, what up?
Yeah, at the awesome dudes, and they've been doing some awesome work. And I love Spider-Man. That was my game of the year last year.
You're smart, man.
That's a game that should be on every damn system. Anything you can put a controller into, you should be able to play that amazing game, that Insomniac game.
Well, with the power of PlayStation Now.
I know. We're getting there.
I know, right?
Yeah. So I am super enthusiastic about what Microsoft is doing, what PlayStation is doing, and I hope that Nintendo has a pro model of the Switch.
Mm.
All of that would be very exciting. But I also feel like, let's bring more people into this party.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That'll be what's going to be fascinating about Microsoft's approach and what could be fascinating about PlayStation's approach. They've just been quieter.
Yeah.
But Xbox with xCloud
and
with Game Pass and with all these awesome services they have, if when they launch this, it is as simple as my friend is like, oh, man, I'd love to play that, but I'm not going to buy an Xbox. Oh, dude, buy this controller and buy the game on this streaming service, and you're in, and we can play together.
Yeah, it's just, it's kind of tragic that Stadia has launched with all of these stumbles and bumbles, you know? And,
yeah.
Because it's pretty cool tech. Have you checked it out?
Oh, yeah, we have Stadia in the room. Yeah,
it works, right?
Yeah.
Have you played it live while you've been streaming on the same internet? Like,
yes.
That blows my
not
mind.
Like, not where we're, like, streaming. Like, I haven't streamed gameplay as a Let's Play, but they've been doing shows, and I've been playing in the other room.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, we've been doing that, like, playing
have you had good
in their show.
Great experience?
No problem.
Yeah.
You know,
because this is something we talked about just as an asterisk here. We talked about it yesterday. There's Stadia good news coming up. We talked about it yesterday, and it was a mixed bag.
Yeah.
Where Kevin was talking about how he had struggles with it. Gary was super down. I'm like, I've had in the back room really bad connections, in the front room fine, at home.
Yeah.
Destiny, I can tell it's not one-to-one, but it's not unplayable by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, like, I liken it to like Fantavision, you know? Like there have been, which, cool games.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's been a lot of launches of systems where they've been a little less than whelming.
Yeah.
You know,
Been,
they've been a little bit of a letdown. Nintendo 64, a good singular product and good hardware. But it's taken a while for the value proposition to kind of make sense. And that's kind of where Stadia is right now.
Yeah.
You know, but it's too bad that it stumbled out of the gate like this because...
First impressions matter, man.
Exactly. And I feel like a lot of people's opinions on streaming technology is going to be colored by this for a long time.
Yep.
But
that's why
has the staying power and the money.
And we're going to talk about Stadia in a second, but just as this conversation goes, that's why I still think xCloud is so important.
It's great.
Because xCloud is still in beta, and everybody who's playing it knows it's in beta, so you're not seeing people bag on it nonstop. And so when they finally launch that as an open beta or whatever, and invite you, whoever, to bring your entire library on there, it will be that wow factor that I had of playing xCloud and like, man, I'm playing Gears 5, and it feels great. Like, this is awesome.
I mean, I don't understand why Google didn't have some kind of purchase plan in place to buy a store that already had a user acquisition kind of thing there, and people had a library of titles that they could then play through the streaming.
Yep.
You know, I don't know why they didn't get into a partnership with Steam or GOG or whatever. You know, there's lots of other and maybe they will. But there are lots of opportunities.
You should have done that at launch.
I know,
right?
I mean?
Like, their image is tarnished.
Well, and honestly, here's what I would say to the Stadia folks. I don't know if anybody from Google is watching, but all the founders should get a year. I think that they should go back and say, "We appreciate the feedback. Thank you for being there. Here's 12 months of because they're giving extra buddy passes.
Yeah, I saw that going around. Yeah,
they should give a year and they should give more games and like win people back that way.
Yeah,
and not that the service sucks and it's bad.
But again, I think the tech works.
Yes,
you know what I mean. And I think it's only going to get better.
Yes,
but it is that. Does that matter? Like how many times can you evangelize something if you are the Stadia faithful?
Totally.
And just get bagged online and no one listens to it.
Remember the 3DS launch, right? Yeah. Nintendo
The light.
Did a mea culpa.
They needed the light eventually.
Yeah, and they dropped the price by $100, right? And they gave all of the first purchasers a bunch of free Super Nintendo games, which was great. That was a very smart move, right? Yeah. It's like you are the heat seekers and you're here first. Here you go. Here's some extra goodies.
Yeah, Zyger has a you're wrong. That's not a you're wrong, just information I think that I was looking for yesterday, actually.
Yeah.
In regards to news regarding Stadia, Destiny 2's player base has dropped from 19,000 2 weeks ago, which is half the size of the next smallest player base, to 9,000 today, whereas other platforms have stayed consistent. Dropping 10 players in 2 weeks is not a good look. Any sources?
No.
A Tom Warren tweet here.
No, and that's the free game that everybody gets.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And I mean, it's like it's one of the few things, now that it's such a nightmare, because like I like Stadia as an idea, right?
Yeah.
And when I played it, like I said, works fine, but like Darksiders dropping, I was playing it on the phone. I'm like, cool, it's too small for the phone. And so it's like, I emailed Stadia, I'm like, so when is it, or how close to the iOS are we that I can play it on my iPad?
Right.
No response. And cool. Yeah. At home, I don't have the Chromecast hooked up anymore because it was running really hot and I wasn't using it. So I felt weird having it just drawing power, so I don't want to put it together. So it's totally one of those. Now wait,
I'm in the same boat. I have it. I reviewed Darksiders Genesis on the on Stadia.
Yeah,
played it fine, but I don't have the compulsion to hook it all up again just yet. I want to.
Yeah.
Like I'm in for the shiny new toys. That's what my whole career has been about. But I want to feel compelled, you know. And it's up to Google to make that kind of make us all feel that way. And honestly, we're that first generation of people that are going to be remotely interested in this. And then we got to tell the stories to get the other people in, which is where their audience is.
Yeah.
Right? But we got to be the people that are sending the word out that this works and it's cool and you should check it out. It's a nice alternative or whatever.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, is kind of meh on the whole thing.
And that's the problem.
Worse.
And like, you know, yesterday the conversation with Gary was like, and with Kevin was just like, well, can it be fixed one day? Can you turn that around? And,
right.
and they were bringing up No Man's Sky, you know, Destiny, how they've turned things around. That's such a different thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yeah, sure, the news got turned around to that. But like, remember No Man's Sky when the patch dropped for Next, right? And it was like, hey, everything's fixed. That was timed with an Xbox release as well.
Yes.
So there was like a, hey, here's the big news. Here's the big entry point. Unless Stadia somehow gets like, a GTA, like a giant exclusive,
they
can be like, hey, boom, everything works now.
They have one with Red Dead. You know, if they said...
But not exclusive.
No, but if they said you get Red Dead if you buy the starter pack, that's...
Even then, it feels so far...
That moves
moves a needle. Right? Or Reddit. You've played Red Dead.
Yes.
Like, that's the problem, is they don't have the new
thing. A lot of people haven't, though.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that wouldn't jump into the console experience, maybe are in the PC world, they can buy the game on Steam, but maybe they would, or on the Rockstar store, but maybe they would be moved to pick up the Stadia thing if you get all of Stadia with Red Dead.
Yeah, I think there's just such a problem with, you pointed out, right? Like, we're supposed to be tip of the sword.
Yeah.
We're the enthusiasts, we're the, and I mean you, audio or visual listener, whoever, however you're consuming the show, I mean all of us, I'm talking as a community.
Yes.
We're supposed to be tip of the sword to then get it, like, I always use the example of the Wii, where I brought the Wii home or my mom came down for Thanksgiving, played the Wii, and was like, can you get this for me? I was like, you've never wanted your own video game console, but that's how good it was.
Yes.
The fact that you're here. Stadia is designed to be for my friend Poe, who doesn't play that many games and would love to not buy the next piece of hardware, would love to just buy the games.
Right.
But if we're all like, nah, it doesn't really work that well. It's not really, there's nothing really going on.
Yeah,
on it.
And one of the biggest challenges, and you guys know this, is that just the setup is a pain in the ass. Like, it's supposed to be like log in, and but you need two apps on your phone to deal with your television.
And that's the thing of like how poorly this launch has been, is that it's just not user friendly in any way. Of like, it's like, all right, cool. Like, and it's this normal thing of like, the questions I'm thinking of, like, Fran's asking me different questions of like, well, can I use it? I'm like, you can use a controller here. Well, you can only play it on the TV, but if you did the HDMI to your computer, I guess, but you'd need it. And like, I'll forget too, because, you know, again, like, I have xCloud and I really have enjoyed playing xCloud. Yeah. I played more Stadia than I played xCloud.
Yeah.
But the fact that, you know, like, I was playing some xCloud. I was like, oh, I'll try something on Stadia. And I put the phone into the dock and I started and it wasn't. I'm like, all right, fuck. I need to put the cord into the. No, I have the Google Pixel. I put the USB-C to USB-C in there. It's just like, it's so half baked and it wasn't launched as an early access and it wasn't launched as beta, which colors the entire conversation.
Yeah.
Whereas if you launched as early access and you still charge the money for it,
right?
Cool, it's early access. I'm here because I believe in this product and I'm here. It would have been very similar, I think, to PlayStation VR.
Yep.
PlayStation said, "Hey,
let's fix it right now." In this quick conversation, if they did something where they partnered with Steam and you could stream your Steam library,
sure, game over. Yeah,
if they said 12 months of access to all the founders, that changes the prescription big time. Everybody is going to be talking about the great value add, of Stadia. If they said, you know what, every game we've launched this holiday quarter is yours if you're a Stadia Pro subscriber.
Yeah.
That changes the thing right away.
Totally.
There's some really quick decisions that they can make right now to turn this around.
I mean, Steam I don't think is possible since everything does need to get ported over and do all this stuff. You see how like Borderlands is only up till October.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, okay. But like everything else you said I think totally works. But what that needs, and I don't think they're ready to do, is a mea culpa, like you're talking about.
Yeah.
You need Phil to come out and be on camera again or send out a letter and be like, hey, we got this wrong.
Yeah.
And you haven't seen that. Like, I don't know how much you frequent Reddit. Like, over on Reddit, when they put up this is last week, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong. There was a post that they do, like, here's your weekly update. And they put it up, and they were just like, from Google, hey, guys, not that much happening this week, but we're saying we're still here, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And the audience went crazy. And they put in their own, the one guy went in there and wrote his own. He's like, if you're not going to do it, I'll do it. This game had done this, and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, right there is, like, such a great snapshot of, like, not only is it, all these problems we've talked about with the system is just communicating with the audience. Like, there's a disconnect between what the audience wants. And I know I talk about VR, both Quest and PlayStation VR, too much. And so you've heard all my stories before.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's night and day to go to the Stadia one and the PlayStation VR one and the Quest one.
Yeah.
Because the VR ones are, hey, we're small communities. The developers are here talking to us. The people who are making the stuff are talking to us. We're having these conversations. We invested our money. We know it's not where it needs to be. It's only getting better. We're so excited.
Yeah.
And Stadia is literally, when the founder tickets weren't going out, the codes weren't going out, going crazy. And it was like, we have been here since you let us pre-order, and you're telling us we still can't get this.
Yeah.
And to this point now of like, we're here and you're telling us there's no information. There was all these arguments.
Too many circling the wagons and trying to protect something instead of
inclusionary. There were so many conversations up until this week, right, of like, where is Borderlands? Is Borderlands coming this month? Let us know.
Yeah.
And then it was just, boom, it's out, by the way. Yeah. Only through October 24th or whatever. It's like, good Lord.
Only through October next year?
No.
Like,
so the deal is that the Borderlands that got released on Tuesday,
I'm
such a time warp now, sorry,
is
the Borderlands that's only, in terms of parity with other versions, is only up to the patches that came out like on October 24th.
Are you kidding?
So it doesn't have Malawan Takedown. It won't get Moxie's Heist today.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't have Mayhem 4. It's like all these different things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another. But
it's what sucks is obviously I know Jade. She was on EP. I love her, and she's a phenomenal developer, great person, and I've known Phil forever. You know, like
And that's the thing. That's the same thing Gary said, and I know a bunch of people over there.
They're
totally
awesome
great
people.
I want them to turn it around. I'm not saying put dirt on the grave or anything, but it is like, okay, this is just a struggle. You know, Nanobiologist says the one I was talking about was the Stadia community update for December 13th.
All right. Well, Nintendo had the same issue with the 3DS, so let's all not forget that, okay? The 3DS was not doing well, and they had to change everything around, and then it did do well.
Sure. I'm going to just talk about good stadium news because okay. we have good stadium. That's number two on the Roper Report.
Cool.
But before then, I had one in here that just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The back to your thing of like, man, is it a slow news week? Phil Spencer also talked about how it's the one thing he likes about the design of the new Xbox is that you'll be able to do limited edition wraps and custom ones. Except,
there's one thing that Xbox has been doing well over the last few years is
limited
edition Xbox. Lots of awesome controllers and lots of awesome different Xboxes.
I have so many Xbox controllers. Number two, though, good news for Stadia. I have two pieces of good news for you. Number one, they've acquired a studio. This is Brendan Sinclair at GamesIndustry.biz. Mm-hmm. Alex Hutchinson and Reed Schneider's relatively brief foray into independent game development is over. Mm. Google announced today that it has acquired the pair's Montreal-based Typhoon Studios and will make it part of the Stadia team. In talking with GamesIndustry.biz about the deal, Stadia Games and entertainment head Jade Raymond says she was particularly impressed by Typhoon's ability to put together its debut title, Journey to the Savage Planet, out now, in under 3 years with a modestly sized team of 26.
Is it out already?
Yeah, I think it dropped this week.
Holy
right?
crap.
Am I wrong about
okay.
that?
Okay, I thought it was 2020.
I thought I saw reviews for it.
Could
Hold
be
on, we're stopping the whole show.
Could be out.
Journey to the...
It might be an early access.
Oh, is that what it is?
It might be. I'm not sure. It is December. It's hard to keep.
What can I trust? Maybe it's just the gameplay trailer I saw. Maybe I'm not out there.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. Because it's saying over here, January 28th, 2020 on Wikipedia.
I think it's out next
maybe
year.
Maybe it's just... IGN put up 43 minutes, so maybe that's just what I'm getting confused on.
Which is cool. I know both Reed and Alex. We had Alex on EPN earlier this year, and great guest. And those guys are awesome. And they're all in Montreal, and Jade knows everybody in Montreal, so that's cool for them. That's awesome. Reed, I don't know if you know this, but he was at Ubisoft, he was at Warner Brothers, he was worked on tons of Batman games.
Yeah,
he was one of the heads on the Batman Begins game at EA, and so he's been around some really big AAA experiences. And that's kind of what Stadia needs, you know.
No, they need big. They need big titles. They need exclusive titles. They need developers working on it.
Yeah.
Sorry. Back to this.
Yeah.
That I screwed up. Not out in 2020. But IGN has 43 minutes of gameplay, so that's why I saw the headline.
Did I just get a point in the you're wrong?
You're gonna win. You're wrong.
Okay,
don't worry.
All right. Wow. Okay.
Dude, yesterday was one of my worst shows of all time. I was so brain dead and exhausted from other stuff. Right. I couldn't remember that I was like, just was PS3 backwards compatible with PS2? I'm the PlayStation guy. I hosted Beyond for like.
When do you get to 25 years.
Yeah.
Every day it's like, what the fuck is going
what
on?
What is happening? Beyond its output, the studio also carries some impressive pedigrees.
Yep.
Schneider, like you said, was a senior producer on the original Splinter Cell and executive producer on Batman, Arkham Knight, with plenty of AAA experience in between. Mm-hmm. While Hutchinson was a lead designer on The Sims 2 and Spore, as well as creative director on Assassin's Creed 3 and Far Cry 4.
Yes.
Quote, they've really assembled a AAA team, and the goal of acquiring the team is that it will really give us a head start in making the system-defining games everyone is waiting for, Raymond said. This is a top AAA team of industry veterans who already have a great working relationship and were able to ship something quickly, and they have a lot of great ideas for the platform.
Right.
I like they're talking about quickly, because clearly she knows, like, all right, let's get some games out. However, those ideas are just ideas. When asked if Typhoon would be changing how it makes games, either to create experiences that could only be done with cloud processing like Stadia's, or to bulk up the studio to AAA staffing levels, Hutchinson can only say so much. Quote, we are just joining now, so we haven't gotten deep into the discussions about what exactly is next. But certainly, I think we want to stay relatively agile, and we don't want to grow to be a monster team.
That's what they were both telling me when I've talked to them about the studio, is that they learned a lot from watching their teams grow to 200, 300 people, where you walk in and you don't know anybody on the team anymore.
Yeah, there's 13 new hires.
Imagine
what is happening.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of had that at IGN, I would imagine, right?
Sure, they bring in all these kids. You know what I mean?
It's
Miranda
crazy.
Sanchez, who's this? Get out of here.
I've been going to Ubisoft since before Splinter Cell
and
watched them, their teams take up more and more of the floor and then multiple floors. And it's unbelievable how big some of these companies are.
Totally.
And I can imagine that they wanted a complete departure from that. And so I don't see these guys, you know, necessarily.
Getting big.
Yeah, and so they're saying AAA. They're throwing that all around there. They have that experience. But I think likely these will kind of stay at the double A area and double A level, which honestly the business needs a lot more of.
And honestly, it's what I think Stadia needs more of.
Totally.
The idea here, I understand that everybody would like them to come out swinging with their Uncharted, right? Their Halo. Sure. They want to get there.
Yeah.
But right now, again, we were talking about this yesterday, I truly believe that by the end of 2020, this Stadia conversation won't be that they're not getting the right games, they're not getting the right updates. It will be... It's Xbox, it's PlayStation, it's Stadia, it's Switch. Everything's coming on one thing. That's the thing.
And VR. Oh, right?
Jesus.
I know.
But when you get to that point with Stadia, suddenly then AAA games are there. So now you have smaller games that have been turned quickly and hopefully, knock on wood, are great mm-hmm. and are giving you a reason to play your games on Stadia and to be in the Stadia ecosystem and to exist there.
Right.
That's what you need, right? Because yes. if you're playing those and you're like, oh, this actually works really well, maybe you do sit there and you go, you know, Assassin's Creed Ragnarok. I want that. Yeah. on. I want to play that on here.
Well, and there's a bit of an analogy, too, with Switch, right? Like, I'm playing sure. that Rebel Edition, the Assassin's Creed thing.
Yeah.
Which is
How's
great.
It running? I haven't
it's
started
great.
It.
I mean, it's definitely old. Yeah, and yeah, it's yeah. definitely old character models and stuff. But the gameplay is great. Black Flag, you know how great
God,
that
what
game,
a game
was. So fun. So it's cool to be able to play that anywhere. And Stadia kind of delivers that, too. There is a totally. Resolution bump. There is a, you know, a tactility bump a yeah. little bit. But the fact that it works is really impressive. And if you've got great classic games, I mean, if Stadia had 200 games in its library and a lot of them were classic games that yeah. ran pretty damn well,
yeah.
that would be a pretty compelling story
sure.
right there.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people miss a lot of these titles. A lot of people, because they make their bet on one system or another, don't get all of these games.
There's a reason everybody loves Game Pass.
Yeah.
Is that reason of,
amazing.
Oh, wow, 10 yeah. bucks a month and I get to play unlimited games and
yeah.
see and try things.
Yeah.
And maybe games you would never play, you jump into and do it.
And I know everybody's going to love PlayStation Now very soon, too. Like, I think a lot of people have sort of been dabbling around with that,
yeah.
Sony included, but
yeah, yeah.
this is going to be the year.
PlayStation 5, right? You figure they have to have an answer for Game Pass yeah. to some extent. And so what does that look like?
You need, and Google needs this. I mean, honestly, yeah. they need an ability to download the software if you want to. And you can stream the software. Mm. And that's what PlayStation mm. and Xbox are doing. Steam is going to do that. You know Amazon is going to do the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Google's going to have to break into that area if they want to compete at that kind of level.
Yeah, and or they say they do.
Or they're going to have to buy a massive library or invest in tons of exclusives. And then they're getting into this arms race,
yeah.
which I feel can kill companies.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
And we saw it happen to Sega. Whoever thought that a world... A video game hardware was going to exist without Sega being a participant in that. Whoever
yeah.
dreamt that?
Yeah.
And I know I'm going back a few years for a lot of people that are watching.
They've read about it in their history books. They've read Console Wars.
Ask
That's what they've heard about.
Ask your parents.
Yeah. the other good piece of Stadia news, Stadia now works on every Chromecast Ultra. This is Philip Byrne over at Android Central.
Yep.
And, oh, actually, that's where I found it. And then it's just a Stadia tweet I'm going to read. But shout out to Philip and Android Central. If you have access to Stadia already, we have some good news to share. We have rolled out an update to existing Chromecast Ultras that allow them to work with Stadia. Grab your Stadia controller, sync it to any Chromecast Ultra, and start playing on any additional TV in your house.
I'm an Apple guy for the most part.
Hell
just
yeah,
got
yeah.
into that ecosystem a long time ago, and so I have an Apple TV.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell I'm doing on the Chromecast.
Me neither.
I've had to learn it for the Stadia,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm like, what the? How do I switch the resolution? Like, I don't know what the hell to do. You
yeah.
know, like you have to stream off of your phone to the Chromecast
yeah.
to watch a movie. It just doesn't make sense. Like on Apple TV, you've got a settings button, and you
yeah.
can adjust everything from there. Not with Chromecast. And the fact that Stadia needs a different thing, and then the controller is also connected to your Wi-Fi, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's nuts. I know that Stadia didn't want a console, but I almost feel like they should have done a more Stadia-friendly, like put some branding.
A box on
yeah.
something? Yeah.
I know they didn't want that.
Yeah.
But anyways.
We'll see. It's gonna. I'm very fascinated. Obviously, a year from now, PlayStation 5, Xbox is out. And then, what does Stadia look like? What is it? Where are we at with that?
Yeah. It's weird that something connected to your TV is so dedicated to your phone. Like, you can't use it without your phone.
Yeah.
Like, it's just sitting there. I couldn't believe it. You know?
You can use it with your computer, right? Can't you stream from Chromecast or Google Chrome?
Yeah. Yeah, but that's weird, too. It's like it's on my
Don't
TV.
Get me wrong. I'm just like you. Where I did it, and I was like, what? And I'm like resetting things, and I'm reading the instructions they sent.
I mean, that's what, and the other side of all of this is the Apple Arcade discussion, too, right? Where you buy a game on Apple Arcade, and you can play it on your Apple TV, and you can play it on your Mac and your iPad, and that's pretty cool.
Apple Arcade's insane.
That's pretty cool,
Apple
right?
Arcade, yeah.
Like it's, and it, I guess we're Apple people, but it just
we are.
Works, right?
Very much, yeah. And that's what I want, right?
Yeah.
And people always, for as much good natured shit as I give PC gaming, that's why I do what I do and why I love consoles is because I plug it in and it works.
Yeah.
And it usually figures itself out and works itself out. And it's not that I have to go
yeah.
download and do something, blah, blah. And I understand automatic updates and I'm not even doing the character of Greg right now.
Yeah.
It's just a long time ago, PC gaming did break me.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I don't, never again.
Yeah. It's brutal, right?
Yeah. And it's why I love Quest.
Yeah.
Put on Quest. It's all Quest there. It works. Ridiculous. It does it all on its own.
Yeah. And I've got the Rift S, and I the resolution bump is awesome. Sure. But the fact that you can go and play Pistol Whip on the Rift S, and it's great. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
But you can play it on Quest, and there's no impact on your PC hardware. There's no cable. There's nothing. Yeah. Quest is insane.
Yeah.
That's the best way to get VR right now, I think.
100%.
Yeah.
Number three on the Roper Report, Rainbow Six Siege is seeing a team shake up. This is Brendan Sinclair over at GamesIndustry.biz. Mm-hmm. Ubisoft is entrusting Rainbow Six Siege to a new crew. The company today announced that creative director Xavier Marquis, brand director Alexandre Remy, and a few other members of the core team will be stepping away from the game to pursue other interests within Ubisoft. Quote, a certain amount of people who have been here a long time, including Xavier and I, will leave the project, and we have a new team already at the helm, Remy said in a video announcing the changes. Adding, we are under the impression that we are transmitting a legacy to these people. We could not have hoped for a better outcome. I think it is awesome, and I am looking forward to being able to look at Rainbow with the eyes of a fan and nothing else, end quote. Rainbow Six Siege director Leroy Atenzahoff will lead the new core team and gave some indication as to where he wanted to take the game in the future. Quote, we will start expanding the game universes, he said. If you look at player experience, we need to stop thinking about exclusive features and start implementing inclusive features instead.
Right.
What I mean is that we need to deliver content that will impact every player and the whole community. Rainbow Six Siege launched in December 2015. Earlier this year, Ubisoft announced the game's player base had reached 50 million registered players.
That is awesome. I was at the last tournament that they had in Japan.
Oh, yeah?
And the game is unbelievably fun and super impressive. And sure. What a great story to keep escalating and growing.
Right.
I interviewed a guy. I can't remember his name, unfortunately. I think it was Laurent. There's a lot of Laurents in the Ubisoft empire.
Yeah. it's like they're Robert Brown. Just throw a dart, you'll hit it.
But he was wonderful because he came from like game testing and like he was a guy that just played it 8 hours a day.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Knew it inside and out.
Yeah, and then they gave him a design role and he just talked about it with such passion and knowledge and he was so articulate. And you could tell, like, it's under good stewardship there, you know?
Yeah.
And I love that whole story. But I think what's impressive here is that there is a real recognition that people do burn out and they got to try different things.
Totally.
And you see that happen all across the business. It happens a lot in the sports game world as well. I think it's good for the companies of these massive franchises to put out the press release and let these people speak to the truth of that.
100%.
And let people know that it's time to kind of get out of the way and let other people kind of rise up and take the leadership.
I mean, think about it, right? Yeah. Like, it came out in 2015. Yeah. So what, they've been working on it since 2012 probably? Yes. And so it's like it's now 2019, 2020. Yeah. That's 8 years.
Yes.
People want to move around and do stuff. Yep. They don't want to be on the same thing over and over again. So it's cool to see them pursue other interests within Ubisoft. They're not leaving the company.
Yeah.
They're working on whatever the next thing is, you know, whatever next IP it is.
Yep.
And then, hand it off to other people who come in and like, hey, we have a clear vision of what we're doing.
Yep.
Right? It is about inclusion. Like, that's awesome.
Hard to do that. And a lot of franchises suffer when you take the key people that really know how to drive that ship.
Yeah.
It's hard to do that, but I think it's worth it. And I think it gives empowerment to the people that are putting in the years, you know? And there is an analogy to Star Wars there, right? Like Favreau and Filoni have both kind of proven that they can be the leaders in there. And if Kathleen Kennedy wanted to, you know, entrust that to people, those would be two awesome candidates. And same with Kevin Feige, who I've thought about a lot with the Marvel stuff. Like, he's delivered. He doesn't have anything to prove anymore.
Right, yeah,
right.
Yeah,
but there are tons of people working under him at the MCU empire that would probably welcome the chance to be the new Kevin Feige, you know?
Sure.
So maybe there's, I don't know. I'm not going to run those companies for them. But it's good to see those kinds of changes and honesty like that from a company. That's good.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then finally on the Roper Report, Epic Game Store announced some new features that they've already rolled out and some 2020 features that will be coming your way. First off, coupons. Coupons are now available from special events in the store. Keep an eye out for ways to get them and earn $10 off your future purchases on titles. You may have even seen the first version of this with the Creator Appreciation event, but more ways to earn them are on the horizon.
Cool.
They also have a library grid view and polish. The library grid view was revised to provide a more dense grid, so you can see more of your games at once. List view now more prominently displays playtime and on size on disk, blah, blah, blah. Storefront optimization. We've released a new storefront and performance optimizations. Basically, this means the store loads faster and more quickly if you purchase it. But development progress. They put up critic reviews. We've completed back-end integrations and component development for including critic reviews on product pages. And these are currently in testing. We'll update you when this feature is live. And then one of the most requested things, wishlist. We're working to bring the wishlist to the store. You'll be able to wishlist any offer on the store, and you'll be notified of sales or promotions for this offer. This has been previously listed as a work-in-progress development, but is requiring more work than originally planned. We'll keep you updated as we move the wishlist feature along.
You don't play PC games, so...
I don't.
Yeah, none of this really matters to
you. No, but I know when the Epic Game Store arrived, yeah. And being someone here on the daily front lines talking about it, I saw the torches and the pitchforks, and I know the wish list was a big part of it. They were mad, Vic.
It is amazing that the PC gaming industry got like a console war.
Right? Out of the blue, yeah. Where people are like, exclusives?
What are
I don't want my
about?
Games exclusive to a launcher.
Yes. Why do I have so many launchers?
Yeah, that's exactly.
A massive issue for people. But it is. People have a real problem with that. I think it's amazing that the quality of the Epic Game Store experience has been pretty cool. And all these freebies.
Yeah.
I hear from people that have not bought a damn game at all on the Epic Game Store, but they have an account.
Sure.
So and now they have games. A library of like 15 games or something like
Nanobiologist that. Nanobiologist points out, update on Epic and Steam holiday events. Epic is giving away $10 and it doesn't expire until May 1st. And then Steam is offering $5 if you have 5,000 festivity tokens.
I know PC gaming can be unbelievably filled with idiosyncrasies and issues
and it
crushes your soul sometimes. but from a value perspective,
what a time to be a gamer.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could just have a massive library at your fingertips of stuff that's on sale. And as we move more and more into digital, didn't you notice that this year? Like, the sales from Black Friday till now, and certainly after Christmas, like, it just doesn't make sense to buy new games anymore.
Totally. You know? If you can wait. Like, why would you ever jump into
everything's on, Nintendo's games are on sale.
Which is unheard of.
They never do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. If you buy the digital versions of a lot of this software, you're getting stuff at such an unbelievable value now. You know, that idea of... So $50, $60 in the States?
$60. Yeah, $50.
And it's like $80 in Canada.
Jesus.
It's crazy, right? Yeah. But so if you...
And then while we say this, Australia's laughing.
I know.
They're upside down laughing at us because it's $129 or whatever the hell.
If you wait, you're okay.
Yeah.
You know, if you wait till the... And then you can just... You know, catch up on a whole bunch of incredible stuff as well. You know, like and Astral Chain. Nobody's playing that game.
Astral Chain's great.
Amazing game.
I waited, I don't even know, a couple months until the hype had, and I finally started. And I was like, holy crap, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Tim told me I wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
He was wrong.
No,
he's a liar.
It's so good. So good. Is it my turn now?
Almost. I'm going to give you a bad transition.
Okay. All right. Okay. All
right. Yeah. Vic, I can't wait to see what Tim lies to me about in 2020, but next year is so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
Well, the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah.
Nice theme.
Thank you very much. Before we get into those games, I'm going to give you our sponsors. Cool, Greg, give me the one. First sponsor, Third Love. Third Love does bras differently. They believe that every woman deserves to feel comfortable and confident every day with the right kind of support.
Sponsor?
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
Oh, it's
awesome. That's awesome.
This is one of the ones that I'm the most proud of, is that when they came, they were like, that someone saw that our best friend group is so diverse that bras made sense for
that
us.
That is so dope. We had Revlon in as a sponsor once on EP, and I totally know what you're thinking and saying about that. That's awesome. Continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. They're pissed you're getting in the way there. Yeah. Third Love does bras differently. They believe that every woman deserves to feel comfortable and confident every day with the right kind of support. They help her do this. Their bras are designed to fit you and not the other way around. They're designed with measurements from millions of women. Their bra styles are made to fit your life. They have over 80 bra sizes, but they know that the only one that matters is yours. They make bras everybody at Kind of Funny believes in because the Kind of Honeys are wearing them. Every bra is backed by the Perfect Fit Promise. 60 days to wash it and wear it. If you don't love it, returns are always free and easy. Plus, the bra is donated to a woman in need.
That's cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
They have a Fit Finder quiz you can take that's fun to do. It'll help you figure it out. And of course, Fit Stylists are available to help via chat and email. Returns are free and easy. So far, Third Love has donated over $15 million in bras.
Wow.
Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they are offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/games right now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/games for 15% off today. The next sponsor, Upstart. As most of us have found out the hard way, getting into debt is easy, getting out is hard, especially if your credit score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score and offers smarter interest rates to help you pay off high-interest credit card debt. It's a tired story, but you've heard it before, but I'll say it again. You know I'm Greg Miller, and I moved to San Francisco, and I needed money, so I took out a loan, and they didn't give me any benefits, and it was a bad interest rate, and that's why Upstart's great. Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter interest rate. Upstart believes you're more than just the credit score. They believe in you. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in just a few minutes. And the best part, once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 300,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals, including that guy who just honked. Free yourself from the burden of high-interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/KFGames to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes, and it won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/KFGames. And finally, Logitech is sponsoring us today. They're here to talk about the Pro X headset, and I don't need the paper for it because I used this. I use this, Vic. It's nice. A headset I used back there. Mm-hmm. I plug it into my PlayStation controller. It's nice on my head. It's got the nice little comfy things, the rings on there. It's got a great microphone. Now, what I love about it is not only is it great for me playing Borderlands, right? But I unplug it, and I plug it into this USB dongle, and it talks to my computer, and then I get the blue headset mic, which makes me be able to go on podcasts and not sound like a moron.
Oh, good.
Because before, I try to do that with other microphones, and then it would record off the on base of the PC. Because
yes.
I don't understand PCs. We've right. explained this many a time.
Yes.
However, of course, from Logitech G, for this Pro X headset, they want me to tell you the stuff only Tim cares about, which is this. Version 2.0 takes 7.1 channel surround sound further than ever with enhanced bass rendering, audio clarity, and proximity cues. And most importantly, a new level of distance awareness that differentiates between... The printer printed two blank pages between near field and far field audio, so you can pinpoint your enemy's location more quickly and accurately than ever. Pro X joins a complete setup of Logitech G gear developed in close collaboration with top esports pros. With Logitech G's most advanced tech and focused design, nothing gets in the way of winning. For a limited time, Logitech G is offering our listeners 10% off any of their products at logitechg.com. Use the code KFGames for 10% off today. That's 10% off all Logitech G products if you purchase from logitechg.com with the code KFGames.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Crushed
Bravo.
It. I felt it was a good performance.
Good job on all the sponsors.
You're as somebody who does this, you understand how cool it is to have some of the sponsors.
It's wonderful, man. Yeah. It's fantastic. And it speaks to the quality of the work that you guys do and the way that you spread it out everywhere. I'm very, very impressed. And very proud of you guys.
I love you, Vic.
Yeah.
Out today, Gunvolt Chronicles, Luminous Avenger IX, but it's not like it doesn't look like Roman numerals.
Isn't it nine?
It's got a low I. Yeah. It's got a little I and a big X. That seems like they're trying to say something. Xbox One.
I thought about something while you were doing some of the reads there, actually.
Sure.
Somebody should create a podcast that is nothing but specs from different computer products and gaming systems.
That's got to exist, right?
Just specs. No,
out of commentary.
Context,
just
out of context specs for like 25 minutes.
Dual Brain Volume 1 calculation on Switch. Oh, geez. Kukiyomi Considerate on Switch. JDM Racing on Switch. Mirror on Switch.
Hey, it's December.
Melbits World on Switch. It's just a normal Switch Thursday.
Yeah.
Bayala, the game, PS4 and Switch. Regions of Ruin on PlayStation 4.
Yep.
Poopaypo Space Deluxe on PC.
Poopaypo is out!
Moves on PC.
What?
Just the game's Moves.
Okay.
The Good Time Garden on PC. Hexon on PC. Elf Manor on PC. The Disguiser of Fate is out today on Steam. Right. Roller Coaster Tycoon Touch gets a holiday update today on iOS and Android devices.
Right.
Red Dead Online rings in the holidays with limited time, festive themed showdown modes, camp and moon shining shack decorations, as well as a variety of gifts and bonuses and more. Additionally, all players who log in between December 23rd and 25th will receive a special seasonal gift chest with a variety of goodies, such as provisions, ammunition, and more. In the spirit of the season, a variety of festive gifts, bonuses, and more come to GTA Online this week with holiday decorations at the Diamond Casino and Resort and other local businesses and snowfall predicted across Los Santos in the coming days. Borderlands 3's Moxie's Heist of the Handsome Jackpot DLC is out now.
Mm-hmm.
And then CD Projekt Red, creators of the Witcher game series, announced a festive winter event bringing a holiday-themed game board and unique challenges, rewards, and in-game offers to Gwent on PC and iOS.
Bravo. Whew. Here's to all the developers that worked hard to get stuff out.
Holiday stuff,
in this month.
I love it. I love a good seasonal event.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New dates for you. One Piece World Seeker DLC 3 is going to be available December 20th. And then... Warner Brothers Interactive and NetherRealm Studios today announced a new holiday-themed in-game event coming to Mortal Kombat 11 this winter season, The Winter Wonderland, December 22nd through the 27th, and Ring in the New Year, the 28th through January 2nd. Tower events within the Towers of Time mode will be available as free content updates for all Mortal Kombat 11 owners. Both events will feature an array of celebratory modifiers while allowing fighters to earn character skins, player module pieces, holiday-specific consumables, and other in-game rewards. I guess everybody who doesn't have my eyeballs, I want you to know they spelled consumables with a K.
Did they? Yes.
For combat.
That's awesome.
Good Lord. Let's check in with the readers, a.k.a. the listeners,
cool.
a.k.a. the viewers.
Yes.
Vic, I got a question for you that we kind of touched on, but I want to get more into it, all right?
Okay, sure.
Borzen00 says, good morning, Greg and Victor.
Good morning.
Victor, as someone who grew up watching you on Judgment Day on G4,
yeah.
I have to ask, how do you feel about modern video game video reviews and video game reviews in general? With the advent of YouTube, it seems everybody and their brother has a video game review channel, but as you are one of the OGs, what advice could you give to people who are doing this on their own today?
I'm super impressed by the commitment to create video essays, which I see a lot of on YouTube. And I think people really approach it from writing a good script and getting all of the details in there. And one of the things that I definitely appreciate is people, like a lot of games today, they take their time with their review to kind of encapsulate many, many months of a game being out. And
sure.
then they do like a huge deep dive into the game. I like all of that stuff. One thing that I would like to see more of, though, are honest emotional impressions from people and how a game impacts them,
yeah.
and also see them on screen kind of relaying a little bit of that. I feel like we can get the features, and I used to talk about this with all of our hosts on our shows, we can get the features from reading the product pages.
Sure.
You know, and the publishers were all doing a good job sort of breaking down what's in the game. What I feel, I think, connects with me as a viewer the most and as a content creator is, how does it make you feel? And why does it make you feel that way?
Yeah.
And dive into a little bit more of that honesty. And that's, you know, what I endeavor to do. And honestly, it was a lot easier for me to bounce off of another, reviewer, whether
sure.
it was Tommy or Scott or Ben or any of the people that I worked with over the years, Jose. But it's been a nice challenge and an exercise for me to go out there alone and stand there and try to be off the cuff and be as, you know, I'm always just giving you my honest opinion, but also try to be as get as much information as I can, it, all from memory.
And not to spin your wheels.
Yeah.
That's what I've always found, right?
Yes.
Like, I've been on Gamecast here, even with other people, where it's so different than when I would sit down to write a review or write a video review script
yes.
at IGN.
Yes.
To sit here and do it and get into it. Like, this year, I think you've seen me start to bring notes on the show, where I never keep notes when I would be writing reviews and playing a game.
Yeah.
I would never keep notes, right?
Yeah.
Unless it was a very specific thing of this guy's name or whatever.
Yes.
But for the conversations, I felt like I needed to start bringing in outlines because
yeah.
it was all over the place then, and I'd forget things, or I wouldn't say things, or I wouldn't yep. have an answer to a question I knew the answer to.
Yep.
Yeah.
I did that for a ton of years, actually. When Tommy and I started, we used to do notes, and we'd bring them to the thing. And then I got into the habit of not needing them or not using them.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like I would like to have them, but honestly, I feel like what's most important is not to just relay what's in the game.
Yeah.
It's what does the game do for you? You know, like it's really easy to just, you cut to the footage shows what the game is about, you
yeah.
know, or yeah. there's so much information out there about what a game is, you know, and
yeah.
that is hammered home by multiple previews and multiple, you know, stories about these things. But what does the game make you feel?
Yeah, personal,
and,
right?
You know, yeah.
That's totally. What I always talk about when people come up to me at meet and greets or whatever, and they want to do what we're doing and how do they do it. It's always like, I understand the drive is to emulate. Oh, I'm going to start a site and we're going to be like IGN.
Right.
And it's like, that's the easiest way to be overlooked.
Yeah.
Because there's 100 other podcasts
right.
out there and YouTube channels doing that. You
yes.
have to come in and be like, what do I offer that nobody else can do?
Right.
And so at the very base, it's what you're saying of, you played that game and you can relate it to your life. How does that work?
100%. I mean, I look to the legends, Siskel and Ebert,
yeah.
you know? Like,
yeah.
the show was, it worked on a bunch of levels. And what it did is it sort of broke down what every movie's plot was, which you can read in any kind of newspaper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Any blurb.
On a poster yeah, yeah. or anything. And that was boring, you know, but it served a purpose. When they went off book, when they got to the point of going back and forth,
yeah.
that was magic. And when I was a young viewer and, you know, creating the show idea for Electric Playground, I said, that is what our show is.
Yeah.
It is that moment. It's when it's past all of the bullshit about what the game is.
Yeah.
How did it make you feel?
Exactly.
You know, and what's that sort of energy and that interchange about, you know? And
yeah.
And, you know, opinions are subjective. And every individual is going to have their own thing. And so even the score and the thoughts around a thing is less important than the emotional sort of conveyance, you know? And it works best when it's a conversation, but it can still work really well if it's just one person as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great answer, Vic.
Oh, thanks,
as usual. Yeah, you've talked into a microphone before. Norza says, hi, Greg and Victor.
Hello.
I have an inside baseball question as well. How does the process work for getting review codes for games? I'm a small content creator and was recently given my first review code for an indie game, which I'm extremely excited about. I was wondering how the process for big companies and amazing creators such as yourself works.
I think it's persistence and being very respectful in your requests and recognizing that people are super busy and, you know, I get asked, can you give me an access to this person and this person? And I usually kind of turn that down. And I think you're going to find a lot of content creators don't really want to share their lists with people because it's a kind of a, an implied form of endorsement.
Sure.
Which you can't really expect anyone to do when you're building your brand. But just endeavor to build your stuff and grow your voice and get better with it. And people are going to respect your commitment to that.
Yeah.
You know, and at first, get used to the fact that you're going to buy your stuff, you know?
And you're going to get rejected when you do reach out, right?
And then, for sure. And but don't be, you know, dismayed
you're
by
not
any
owned
of that.
You're not owed anything.
No.
That was, I mean, for me personally, it works the same way today as it did when I did this for the first time professionally as at the Columbia Daily Tribune when I had it, is that I wanted NCAA football, so I went to EA's website, and I went to press, and I went to the media contacts, and I found one, and I emailed them, and I explained who I was, what my column was, what I wanted to do with it, and they sent me a copy, and I'll never forget that.
Yes.
Getting that FedEx of the PS2 box in my office, where I was like, crap, this worked, and it's the first time it's happened, and yada, yada, yada. And so, like, today, when inevitably some indie game's talked about or whatever's happening, or, like, Barrett will want a code for Talk About a Gamescast, and I don't know those people, it's the same thing. I go to their website or their Twitter and look for their contacts and hit them up that way.
Yeah.
And just explain who you are. Of course. Or I buy it. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, I think in this age of influencers and you'll see people opening special boxes and all that stuff.
Sure, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's hard not to feel like, why didn't I get that or how do I get that?
Yeah.
Don't waste your energy on that bullshit.
Yeah.
Don't waste your energy on looking at what other people are doing or getting or whatever. Just build your own thing and
that will crush
find
you.
Your own rewards in this all.
There's
all
always
stuff.
A bigger fish.
Yes.
There's always a better fit. Yep. There's always, you can't sit there and do that, right? Because that's the thing of like, if I sat there and like was upset that I didn't get whatever Ghostbusters box is going out or whatever, like I see somebody at the Halloween Horror Nights for Ghostbusters and I didn't get invited. It's like, I don't have a chip on my shoulder about that. I'm not asking why that person got invited over me. I'm
you
not,
can't.
Who do I know?
You cannot.
I keep making my content.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, one day you'll get something that somebody else doesn't get. And, and just know that that isn't the status quo or the thing that you can always rely on. Like, you know, I've been in this business for so damn long. I've seen nothing but this, you know, and that's what you get. And the reward is being able to keep doing it. You know? That's
100%.
It. Yeah.
Victor, it's time to squat up. Okay. This is where one of you best friends writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read here, the best friends come and find you. Everybody plays games together. Today, Mitchell George needs help on Facebook. He is part of the Kind of Funny Toronto group.
Yay, Toronto.
Exactly. Mitchell writes, hey, Greg. After your visit to Toronto this summer, some best friends and I decided we should have a way of organizing events with the Toronto contingent. We just had our first meetup, a holiday dinner, and it was great catching up with friends new and old. If you are in the greater Toronto area, search Kind of Funny Toronto and squad up with your fellow Torontonian?
Torontonian?
That makes sense. Torontonian best friends.
Yes.
So if you're in Toronto and want to get together with some best friends, look for the Kind of Funny Toronto group.
Yes.
Not officially endorsed by Kind of Funny, so if they're Satanists or something, not on me. I didn't do it. I don't know.
I love all of this, and that's one thing that I have great respect for and a teeny bit of envy for is the fact that you guys have been able to, using all of the awesome people that you have working here to kind of create this energy around and this community, right? Like this constant... We just don't have that with EP. We just, it's just Blake and I kind of cranking on as much content as we can. We do as much interaction as we can.
Yeah.
But you know, when you're building stuff, it's hard to build and create community.
Yeah.
You guys have done a wonderful job at being inclusionary with all your people.
We're super proud of the best friends. Awesome, and the group we've committed to and created here.
So, well, that's honestly the secret to your success, isn't it?
100%. It's all them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yep. Let's check in with You're Wrong again. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, your job is to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. Sometimes you just give more information, so I'm never sure what's going on. Nanobiologist says, Nintendo specifically gave 3DS first adopters an ambassador pass, which gave those players access to two SNES games. It was tied to the system, though, so you could not transfer it to a new 3DS model.
Was it? I thought it was more than two. Wasn't it more than that?
Nanobiologist, rarely wrong.
Okay.
So I would
Nanobiologist.
The nanobiologist.
Is that a character in Death Stranding?
No, just a biologist who has nothing better than to do watches and crack does.
All right.
People saying I'm right. Of course I am. No big deal. Nanobiologist says Epic is also doing 12 days of 12 free games for the holidays.
Oh, yes, that's right. And there's a Switch thing with Cubic Games where you're getting a free game every day.
Oh, really?
You had to purchase one a while ago, and then every day that publisher is giving you a free game. I think I screwed up and didn't get mine yesterday.
Screwed that
Damn
up.
Damn it.
Stedjohn At says, digital game prices. Even on sale, I usually find it's noticeably cheaper to buy games physically in the UK, often by £5 to £10. So that's something to go for.
Yeah, Stadia's got to fix that pricing thing.
Kebabs points out here, the Australian dollar does not have the same monetary value as the American dollar. Under today's exchange rate, $60 US is $87 Australian, $90 New Zealand. It's still a bit more expensive, of course, but you don't literally pay double the cost down
here. It is shocking that you've been to Australia.
Sure,
it is shocking to see those prices.
Exactly.
Right?
But I heard in that correction was just, oi, governor! You know what I mean? The dingo ate the baby!
That's not Australia.
I don't think it's anything, actually, Vic. I don't know if it's anything.
Today we lost all of the Australian best friends.
Oh, trust me, they're used to it. They love it. Nanobiologist says it was 20. I thought I typed 20. So it's 20. You were right. You both correct each other there on the free games. Good job.
I still have some memory.
Nanobiologist points out, just for Vic's thing, I have 2 bachelor degrees in biology and nanoscience. Nanobiologist.
Very nice. You'll be in Death Stranding too.
Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Kinda Funny Games Daily. Thank you so much for watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe. Vic, as always, you're a consummate professional. I love
thank
you so much.
Thank you for
just
having
give
me.
It all up and move down here.
Or you come to Vancouver.
Come on. A lot of people doing this stuff. Yeah. Where can people keep up with you if they want to?
Check us out on EPN. So it's EPN TV on YouTube, or you can follow EP Daily TV on Twitter. I'm Victor_Lucas on Twitter. Just search for Electric Playground, and please watch and subscribe to our stuff if you like it, and share it.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, and until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
Thank you. Thank you. Cool. Man.